Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry, with the Chicken Whisperer fans, and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That will get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. And then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable lifestyle, urban farming, urban gardening, anything else that might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled BRINSEA. That's Brinsea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea. Technology you can trust. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, it is now time, believe it or not, the moment you've been waiting for, time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, and author, the one, the only multi-talented, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper. You know, every time I hear that, the Super Chicken and the strife for law and order, it just cracks me up. But today, I got to tell you, today it hit me as especially poignant because did you listen to the news this morning, what's happening in Libya and in Saudi Arabia and in Zimbabwe?
Did my kids
hear any of that?
I have not.
Well,
no.
It's like the domino effect that they were so afraid of. I mean, talk about law and order in the pursuit of justice. Like Gaddafi, and I've worked in Liberia, which is right next door to sort of Libya. But Gaddafi is said basically, you know, he's the leader. He's been there forever. I mean, just forever and way too long. He says, this leader comes out and says, I will kill a lot of you for being against the government. Of course, what's a world leader to do? You know, he's facing social unrest. Well, a lot of them then have evacuated over from Liberia into Tunisia, and that newly formed government that just got one of their first elections, barely stable, where they're having to deal now with all these displaced people from another country that's having a political upheaval. And then in Saudi Arabia, this is all in the same newscast this morning, in Saudi Arabia, there's also unrest. And the king there apparently is trying to bribe the populace and seduce them with money to go into the interior from the oil, but that's not enough. I mean, they're past that, and so they're dealing with a whole new kind of politics there, which I studied a little bit of political science, not a lot, because I just don't have. I much prefer my personal dictatorship to anything that's out there. But apparently, what's going on is that the older population in Saudi Arabia, they have never had city council meetings. They've never had any kind of public forums that have given them a chance to kind of talk about their political system. And when we complain here about our city councils, but you know, due process goes, and eventually I think the will of the whole does come out. And sometimes it's really slow, over the long run, they're basically where we were almost 200 years ago, which is not that long a time in the course of history. But what's interesting in Saudi Arabia, Whisper, is that the younger generation is wired. They are cable ready, and they are tuned in using tweet and messaging, instant messaging and the internet to communicate with each other, and so the government apparently can't really stop that. So it's the domino effect that the Arab world was so afraid of is happening right before our very eyes and right this moment as we speak. So isn't that amazing? I mean, it's but of course, what we're doing, we're such a global village, the instability over there in the Arab world is raising gas prices, you know, and it's already jumped to like 10% just in the last week. So anyway, I just find to watch this truly world-making history unfold kind of right before my very ears. I haven't really seen it on the TV, but before my very ears. Can you imagine what the emails and the tweets and the instant messages would have been during the Boston Tea Party or during the Civil War, you know, the Battle of Gettysburg? You know, it would have totally changed the course of history. So
sometimes I
anyway,
think we need... Sometimes I think we need to have another Boston Tea Party here in America. But you can imagine they're going through it. But you know what's going to happen in 200 years if they come the same path we've gone? These people who fought for their freedom are going to be rolling over in their graves, saying, "This is not what we fought for. This is not what we envisioned. This is not anything what we had in mind. You've thrown away the Constitution. You don't even abide by it anymore. You have all this stuff going on." And so in 200 years, I hope they're not in the same predicament that we're in right now. And we've been in over the last, 15 years or even longer. So not just right now. I don't want to blame any administration because I can place blame on many, but, hopefully in 200 years, they won't be in, their founding fathers, these people who fought for their freedoms like ours did, won't be rolling over in their grave, shaking their heads back and forth. So it's who knows. But they it is interesting. I watched a little bit over there when they were doing all of that in Egypt. It was watching that mm-hmm. go down. And that was very interesting. So we'll just have to see.
Mubarak's out. I mean, he's finally gotten out. So, but it's on John F. Kennedy's grave. I remember being up there in Arlington Cemetery, and there's some wonderful quotes from him. And one of the quotes is something like, "The cost of democracy and freedom is constant diligence. We can't let our guard down and assume that the rights we have will always be there, because there's always someone that is power hungry or greedy or just power mongering that will take it away from us if we let them." So I think that's to a large extent that's what we're facing today in America, but it's also what they're facing over there in the Saudi Arabia is gaining their freedom and individual expression. So interesting times. We are definitely living in very, very interesting times. So.
Very much so. Well, good. We have an awesome show for everybody today. Your favorite or one of your favorites is going to be on joining us today, Dr. McCray. She's going to be talking about incubating and brooding and baby chicks. So we've got a really good show in store for everybody today. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow is another great episode of Fun Friday. We'll be giving away more great prizes from our sponsors tomorrow as well. And, of course, don't forget, mark your calendars, we will be broadcasting live this Saturday as well, a special Saturday show from Mountain Valley Country Store in Hayesville, North Carolina. We'll be broadcasting live from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. There and then having a poultry workshop. So if you're near there, want to come out and say hello, and I learn a little bit about keeping some backyard poultry, you're more than welcome to come and do that. But again, tomorrow is a great Fun Friday. Today, sponsoring our chicken trivia contest, which will start about 20 past the hour. That's 20 past the next hour. Is brought to you by Critter-Cages.com. Critter-Cages.com. We have a 'tis the season. We've got a great brooder lamp with a dimmer switch and a 100-watt heat lamp bulb, and that's valued at somewhere between $30 and $35, but don't forget about shipping because that'll be shipped right to the winner's front door. So we've got that chicken trivia coming up today about 20 past 1. We've got that going on, and as we kind of walk down this road here and get into chickens in the news, there's two things I want to share with everybody again specifically today. And number one would be, hopefully you follow us on Facebook and just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. But there's a couple of things. Number one, tomorrow being Friday, Pat and I are going to start giving away every Friday the awesome new ManaPro chicken breed poster. And every time we post something about it and show a picture of it on our Facebook page, people go nuts. It's awesome. I mean, it really is a great piece. And so one way you can get it, if you go to manapro.com, you can save UPCs when you buy ManaPro products, send it in there, and then you can get the posters and other goodies. But people are like, hey, how can I buy this? How can I get one? You know, maybe ManaPro is not in our area, you know. So what we're going to do is we're going to start giving them away here on the radio show. But there's another opportunity as well. So tomorrow during our Fun Friday, we'll be giving away a poster. We'll be doing that every single Friday because they are truly awesome. And then, but if you become a fan and like ManaPro at their Facebook page tomorrow, sometime during the day, and I'm just going to guess probably sometime during business hours, they are going to post something about the poster. And then the first 25 people, this is my understanding, that like that post is going to get a free poster. So we're giving away one poster tomorrow. Heck, maybe we'll give away two tomorrow just to kick off the Fun Friday. But they're going to give away 25 tomorrow on their Facebook page. But you've got to become a friend / fan / like, whatever it is now on Facebook. So go to Facebook.com, search for ManaPro Poultry. That's ManaPro Poultry, and go ahead and like their page. Then you'll get that update by liking them or following them or becoming a fan. It'll pop up, and then you can go and like that post, and the first 25 people will get a ManaPro chicken breeds poster. And it's got a picture of the adult hen. It's got a picture of the chick. It's got a picture of the color egg they lay. It's really neat. I think it has 16 breeds that are actually featured on it. So that's one thing I wanted to share with everybody. Love for Poultry, thank you very much for joining us and getting on the ball there. Thank you. And she's got the links there. One, how you can get the promotional products at ManaPro.com, but also she has the link to the ManaPro Facebook page. So if you're in the chat room right now, there you go. Click on that link and then like the ManaPro page, and then you may have one chance to get that one of 25 posters tomorrow that they're actually giving away. We're going to give away, let's just say, two here tomorrow on the radio show. So that's number one I wanted to share with everybody. Number two, time is running out to sign up, if there's any spots available, for the ManaPro Bringing Home New Chicks webinar that's going to be this coming Wednesday, March the 9th. This coming Wednesday, March the 9th at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, March 9th. And it'll be yours truly, the Chicken Whisperer, and the Vice President of Nutrition at ManaPro, Dr. Rob. We're going to be talking all about, again, a little bit about incubation, mostly about brooding, and basically what you're going to need to know if you run out, for example, to Tractor Supply because they're celebrating Chick Days now and get baby chicks and bring them home. Or maybe you order them from one of our awesome hatcheries that sponsor the show and you get your baby chicks in the mail or you bring them home. What do I need to do? Starting from scratch, we're going to share all that information with you throughout the entire webinar. Only an hour and a half, so don't think you're going to have to listen all night. Only an hour and a half. Throughout the webinar, we'll be giving away some great prizes, but as you've heard me say before, next Wednesday the 9th, one lucky participant. Now, you have to participate live in the webinar. One lucky participant is going to win an awesome, it's a 4x6, 5x6, I can't keep up with it, beautiful chicken coop from Horizon Structures. The thing is valued at something like $1,600, $1,700, $1,800, and even more if you live on the West Coast after delivery, but it's fully assembled, delivered right to your front door, one lucky participant on Wednesday is going to win one of those, so very, very cool. Many of you have already signed up. Thank you very much, but I think the max is 1,000 people for this webinar, and so you have, even if everybody shows up, you've got, what, a 1 in 1,000 chance of winning this awesome coop. How cool is that? I haven't got the numbers of how many are signed up yet. I've requested that this morning, actually, Kara, and we'll see. Maybe this afternoon I'll get that announcement or get that email back. So those are the two.
A quick question, Whisper.
Yes.
When you sign up for the webinar, you've got to give all your address information and that sort of thing. Does that put you on any mailing lists or sign you up for anything that do they share the information, the personal information?
No. In fact, what you'll do is you'll probably get, after the webinar's over, because I participated in the one last year, and after it's over, you'll probably get an email saying, how did you like it? Thank you for joining us, and how did you like it? And then I haven't received anything else from them after signing up other than that follow-up email saying, how did you like it? Give us your input. And then that was it. They may actually say something. It says, yep, I think that's about it. It says here, your email address and personal information will be used by the webinar organizer, ManaPro, to communicate with you about the event. So once you register, you'll get an email maybe a week before, maybe a day before, maybe the day of,
okay,
that says, hey, here's a reminder to go ahead and do that. So, yep, there you go. But when I did this last year, I think I got a follow-up email after the webinar saying, how'd you like it, and give us your feedback, and that was about it.
Okay. Now, I know I've had questions about that with other meetup, go-to-meeting questions, if the information is shared. You know how they end up getting emails and spam. And I know I get over 100 a day now. It's just ridiculous, some of these emails that are coming. But okay, well, that's wonderful. Very good.
Cool. Very good. Yep.
I just signed up. I wanted to let you know. I just signed up. I'm going to be there.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Very good. Well,
always
let's
learn
go ahead.
Something. Never
yes,
at all.
We can. We can. Okay, I just wanted to share those two specific points, and it's now time to start our kind of official Chickens into the News. I've got a couple of things I think I'm going to share, but Chickens in the News, remind you, is brought to you by MeyerHatchery.com up in Polk, Ohio. When we were up there for the Ohio National, we had a chance to stop by and broadcast live on location there. Great folks, great location. And if you want to get some chicks this spring, then they want you to check them out at MeyerHatchery.com. Alrighty, in Polk, Ohio. Perfect. Let's see. I will start here. There's a couple of here that I want to share with you. This one kind of on the lighter side, if you will, and we did put this on our Facebook page, but I also did put on there, only in Georgia would probably something like this happen. Comes to us from WSBTV.com. Police. Georgia man hid chicken in his pants. Okay, here we go. Yep, it's posted on my Facebook page. That's the title. Police state Georgia man hid chicken in his pants. This comes to us from Rome, Georgia, which is heading up 75 up towards Chattanooga. Authorities said a North Georgia man was arrested after police said police said he stuffed a rotisserie chicken, chicken wings, a mouth guard, and two toothbrushes down the front of his pants and walked out of Walmart without paying for the items. You heard it. You heard it here first on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Police say a North Georgia man was arrested after police said he stuffed a rotisserie chicken, chicken wings, a mouth guard, and two toothbrushes down the front of his pants and walked out of Walmart. Of course, this happened at Walmart without paying for the items. Police said the man left the store through the garden center entrance with the items in his pants on Tuesday afternoon. Floyd County Jail in Rome Police reports that 27-year-old Joseph Lee Stringer of Kingston was charged with shoplifting. The records show that he was released on about a $1,350 bond. Stringer could not be reached by phone Wednesday, and it was unknown whether he has an attorney. So again, right, right here.
He must be hungry.
Yes. Well, you know, there's a lot. This really triggered a lot of comments on our Facebook page. People were like, you know, that's very sad. That, you know, maybe he was hungry. Maybe he was wanting to feed his family, or you know, a toothbrush, some of the staples that we need, you know, things like that. I actually put a comment on there that that, you know, we may see more of this as food prices continue to rise. We're already up, depending on what studies you look at, just this year up 3.5% to 6% with our groceries. And then, of course, we'll probably start seeing a lot more drive-offs from the from the gas stations because of the gas prices. I mean, that just, I guess, comes with the territory. Doesn't make it right. But, yeah, some people were like, well, he must have been hungry. And after eating that chicken, he wanted good dental hygiene. So he got a couple of toothbrushes to go for after he ate the chicken. And then some people were making
–
yeah. Some people were making a comment like, who would eat that chicken after being stuffed down his pants? And somebody even put a comment that said, you know, I've bought rotisserie chickens before, and they leak all over the place. I can't imagine stuffing one down my pants. And then somebody wanted to know if the chicken that he stole, that he put down the front of his pants, was a cock or a pullet. Yeah, I know. So it was just it was pretty crazy. And Robert said he's heard of an oven stuffer roaster, but not a trouser stuffer roaster. Yep, I've heard of an oven stuffer roaster, but not a trouser stuffer roaster. So very, very good. Yeah, Bidbird says, thank goodness it wasn't around Thanksgiving. He would have maybe tried to stuff a turkey down his pants.
Oh dear! You wonder if he was overweight or not. If it really even showed, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, bless his heart. Well, it's certainly good for entertainment value. You got to give it credit for that. I've never heard of anyone stuffing a roaster down their pants.
Exactly.
Oh dear.
That's another good one. Let's see here. Well, hang on a minute. Let me see if I can't get this to pop up here. This comes from the Observer, but the article's not coming up, but the comments are coming up. But they put, hang on just 1 second. Here we go. Comes to us from Kimberly. She posted on our Facebook page, Milford man plays chicken with ordnance. Now, remember earlier we talked about Archie Noon, and 92 years old. And here we go. Milford Village will not go after a man over chickens. Village officials don't plan any action against a resident who announced at a meeting last week that he would ignore a village ordinance that forbids keeping chickens and other livestock, the village manager said. We certainly aren't going to devote manpower to doing investigations, peeking over somebody's fence, village manager Arthur Shufflebarger said on Thursday. The village would act, however, if someone filed a complaint. Shufflebarger said longtime resident Archie Noon, 92, told council members Tuesday that this spring he would put hens into the deluxe in-house he and his grandson built for around $3,500, despite the council's vote in November against his plan. So that's the latest update, that the town doesn't seem like they're going to pursue this. Of course, many times they say that, and then or they'll hide behind that. Well, if somebody makes a complaint, well, then you know we by law have to investigate. And so we'll follow this and see. You know, I can just see it now, just like when cities claim, and it may be a factual statement, Pat, they claim, oh yes, chickens are absolutely allowed in Johns Creek, no problem at all, you just have to abide by the covenants and the ordinances. Well, before Johns Creek was formed a city, you could have up to 75 chickens as long as they were 25 feet away from a neighbor's dwelling. A lot of people in Johns Creek would have chickens. When they found out people had chickens, they went to work, and then they changed the ordinance. So you had to be 100 feet away from a neighbor's dwelling. They just basically whited out the 25 feet that was unincorporated Fulton County's rule, and then wrote in 100 feet, and knowing that it eliminates many, many hundreds, if not thousands, if not the majority of people in Johns Creek from having chickens. So they can say all day long, oh, we welcome chickens. Chickens are allowed. You just have to abide by this ordinance that they wrote, knowing that it would eliminate most people not to have chickens. Duh. Who do they think they're fooling? I mean, give me a break. So we'll just see how this happens regarding this city. Oh, we don't plan to investigate or to do anything unless there happens to be a complaint made. And then by law, you know, we have to investigate that. And if it ends up being against our ordinance, then we have to take action. How many times have I heard all of that? So we'll see. We wish Archie Noon all the luck in the world. But I can see this one coming down the pike pretty clearly.
He's going to keep his chickens in his garden. I mean, how can anyone possibly go against a retired person, especially in their 90s, wanting to have chickens in a garden? That would be so heartless. But I'm going to project it'll just lead the way, so the whole community then ends up having chickens. Everyone who wants them can have them. And it can happen.
Tater Farm. I'm not sure where he or she is from, but he put in there, I can't imagine chickens in Johns Creek. That's where I live, Tater Farm, and right here in Johns Creek. And we were, of course, grandfathered in. We've had up to 50 chickens in our backyard. I know I can count probably on two hands how many people in Johns Creek actually have backyard poultry in the city of Johns Creek. So very interesting. There's few. I mean, there's $400,000-$600,000 homes with beautiful chicken coops behind them, and so it's pretty interesting how that works. But because before this was Johns Creek, it was unincorporated Fulton. 75 chickens, 25 feet from the neighbor's occupied dwelling. Wham, bam, bam. And then they when they found out people had chickens up here, then they were like, oh no, we can't have chickens in Johns Creek. We better do something about this. And then changed it. They're running the city like it is a homeowners association. Leaders of homeowners associations decided to run, and then now they're running the city like if it was how many times have I heard, oh well, if we break off from the county, then all our money will be spent here, and we can take the money that we're putting into Fulton County. Oh, we could do such a better job. We could do so much more with. And now they're having financial problems, saying, oh, maybe we need to raise taxes. Maybe we're really struggling here. And well, yeah, we from 3 police officers to 69. You know, it was ridiculous. From three officers to like 69, and then they want the officers to live in Johns Creek. So every officer who chooses to live in Johns Creek, it's an additional $750 a month of taxpayer dollars to go towards their rent in Johns Creek because it's a high rent district. So it's pretty nutty, and that's why I'm getting the heck out of Dodge here as soon as I possibly can. But yeah, I could tell you some stories. Let me tell you, it's pretty crazy. How many times have I heard? Thing. Oh, you know, your taxes won't go up. Next thing you know, we're a city and we have all these franchise fees on our water bill, our power bill, our garbage bill. And yeah, right. People believed it. So the thing is, it's kind of like, you know, out of 60,000 people who live here, what, 3,000 actually voted? So
really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. I do hope Archie Noon can keep his chickens, but I've heard this before. I've heard the story. I've heard the cities. Oh, we're not going to be peeking over fences. We're not going to be doing this. But next thing you know, he has no chickens. So we'll see. And again, I hope that doesn't happen. But I've heard this one too many times. So perfect. Let's see. Any chickens in the news, Pat, to share with us?
Well, yes. This is local chickens in the news, I must say, and it's personal, and it's great fun. Tomorrow, a master gardener friend of mine who lives within the city limits of Lexington has set up her garden so to have chickens, even though they're not legal yet. So I'm going to take over 3 hens. She's got a little coop set up, and they won't officially be residing in Lexington because she won't own them, but she's going to be keeping them as an experiment. So she'll have visiting chicks, and we're going to see how that goes. So she's part of the Shenandoah Valley Poultry and Garden Club and just couldn't wait until the laws get changed. So we'll see what happens. And she's got all set up for it. She's got a beautiful yard in a fenced-in area, a couple dogs, and she just can hardly wait. It's something she's been planning for over 6 months. So we're going to do that tomorrow afternoon.
Cool.
We'll see. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. We can do, chickens for rent, and that way they're not really legally staying there. They're just visiting. See how that flies.
Cool.
Anyway.
Blood for Poultry just put in the chat room. The kids are outside catching the guineas, ducks, and chickens with the new chicken catcher pole they got from eggcartons.com. I think Brighton won that. I'm glad they got it and got that prize, and they're out playing around with it, chasing down chickens and guineas and turkeys and everything else with this long poultry catcher. I can see it now. That is hilarious. that's so funny. Oh, my goodness. Let me see if there's anything else that I may have forgotten here on our Facebook page. I did post an article about a poultry club over in the UK that's doing very well with poultry shows. And see what else we got here. A couple of folks have posted some blogs. Ah, they do now have the picture of the cover of my book on Amazon. For a while, when you went to Amazon, it was just the title, and now there's actually the cover and everything else there, so that's cool, and you can pre-order that. And I did find out it's going to be in stores everywhere, including Tractor Supply, so looking forward to that. Let's see what else we got here. That's probably about it regarding chickens in the news. Don't forget, Friday the 18th, we'll be awarding an awesome prize package to a lucky school, either Garden Valley Chapter, Garden Valley Charter School in Orangevale, California, Claremont High School, Claremont, California, All Saints Episcopal School in Tyler, Texas, the Padilla School in Atlanta, or the College School in Webster Groves, Missouri. Those are the five finalists for our Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest, which is brought to you by MyPetChicken.com, GQF Manufacturing, Pat Foreman. They get a book, City Chicks, for that prize package. And Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So on the 18th, we'll be announcing that. We'll have a small panel that will choose one of those five, and we'll announce the winner right here. And we're also hoping to have another big chicken coop contest for the month of April that everybody can participate, Facebook fans, Twitter fans, our listeners, the whole nine yards. So we're hoping that that actually will work as well. And, of course, there's a lot of chatter on the web and on Blog Talk Radio in our chat room here about Chick Days at Tractor Supply. So if you live close by, go by Tractor Supply Company and take a look at some of the chicks they've got, and get you some gear there as well. And don't forget, while you're there, get you some ManaPro stuff too. I know they carry it. So, all righty. Well, it's about half past the hour. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, the one, the only, Dr. McCray is going to be sharing with us all of her wonderful knowledge. She has all the letters after her name to be able to share that knowledge with us about incubation, brooding, and baby chicks. So once again, I find myself reminding you to pull out that spiral notebook next to your computer that has Chicken Whisperer Show written on the front. Pull it open, write the date at the top of the next empty page, and fill that page up with all kinds of great information from our friend, Dr. McCray. When we come right back after this short break, let's start off a good commercial here. Let's get those toes a-tapping.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, where we have given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet. We've given away more chicken prizes than anybody on the planet, thanks to our awesome, awesome sponsors. It is now time to bring on our good friend, Dr. McCray, to talk all about incubation, brooding, and baby chicks. 'Tis the season. Welcome, Doctor.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you pretty good.
Fantastic.
Pat Foreman.
Yo, I'm here. Yeah.
Great.
Hey, Doctor. Welcome.
Good to hear you again. Well, I have a little bit of news before I get started into incubation and brooding. Information about upcoming events.
I wonder which event that could be.
Well, first and foremost, we're having a poultry show this weekend here on Delmarva. And it's the Delmarva Poultry Fancier Show in Harrington, Delaware. So if you're anywhere near Delaware or anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic and you like chicken, come on by. We are going to have an ABA, or American Bantam Association, national meet. So, big show. We've got people sending birds in as far away as California, Colorado even. I keep telling Kara, who's a funny farmer in your chat room, that she needs to come because she's trying to get started with her silky flock. So those of you in the chat room, help me poke and prod Kara.
poke.
There you go. Come on, Kara, you got to come. Yeah, so we set up cages yesterday and put out coop cards, and, you know, people can start delivering birds by, I think, noon tomorrow. So if you're in the area and you want to go to a really fun poultry show, come on by. We have a food booth, and we have a fantastic Chinese auction. We also do a 50-50 raffle. So come on by and take a look at what we have to offer at Delmarva Poultry Fanciers. It's a lot of fun. And last weekend, I think it was last weekend. Yep, it was. I actually met another one of your listeners in the chat room, someone who goes by the name of Dragonfire. Her name is Louise, and we actually met person to person for the first time last weekend in New Jersey. I came and I talked to New Jersey 4-H members about starting 4-H Avian Bowl. So it was great to meet Louise in person.
Cool.
So New Jersey's really excited about 4-H Avian Bowl, and they're looking at perhaps this year, if not this year, then definitely next year, doing a statewide qualifier so they can send a team to nationals. It's a very popular 4-H contest, and it teaches kids, if they've been in it for about 3 or 4 years, all the information they basically need to know for an introduction to poultry science class in college. So if you stick with it, you've got one class under your belt before you even step in the door at college. So there you have it.
Great.
And, of course, I would be remiss if I did not mention Cooptastic. We just finished with the pre-registration deadline of March 1st, which was this
Tuesday.
And so we're getting lots of letters postmarked March 1st coming on in, but don't let that stop you. That's just pre-registrations, which guarantees you a free lunch. if you want to just come the day of and support one of our 4-H food booths and have lunch through them, you can. And you can walk in, same price as if you were to pre-register, $10 for adults and $5 for children, and you will know that all your funds go to 4-H to support 4-H poultry here in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a really good set of kids. They're putting together a Chinese auction that I think y'all are going to be fairly impressed. It's better than last year, honestly.
Chinese auction, so I can get some wonton soup and some egg rolls and some
wasabi.
There you go. A Chinese auction is another name for a drawing. So basically what it is we assign a number to, like, say, an egg basket. And it's got a matching number on a paper bag that hangs on the front of the table. So if you're interested in the egg basket, you put your tickets into the bag that has the same number as the egg basket. So if you're not really interested in a feeder or water, don't put your tickets in those bags. Just put your tickets in the bag that corresponds to the item you're interested in. We're going to have feed donated. We're going to have feeders and waters and chicken stuff and books and all kinds of whatnot has been donated from several of the companies that support 4-H poultry or 4-H youth in general. Excellent, excellent. And one of the things that I need more entries for, I'm putting a shout-out out there, is for the hen dress review. Now, I know that I have a deadline on there, but we have only had one entry so far. But don't let that stop you. I think perhaps people might be thinking of the we didn't have a deadline on the entries last year. But feel free to bring your entry with you. You can bring your bird so that you can display the article of clothing on your bird. You'll have to keep the bird sequestered in your vehicle until such time as the contest rolls around. And also, we've had a few dozens entered for the egg judging contest. We also have teams from Maryland and Delaware for the Avian Bowl contest. And actually, this is fantastic news. Maryland last year didn't have any team members or any teams at all. Maryland is started a new Avian Bowl program, and they have one senior team. They have a very interesting team name. The Eggnoggins. And then they have two junior teams. One team is named the Hard-Boiled Eggheads, and the other team name is the Green Dragons. So we're looking forward to seeing some of these teams in action at Cooptastic. And, of course, we have two teams from Delaware, potentially three teams. One team is called Chicken Fried, and the other team is called the Egg-Cellent Eggers. So we've got some real egg-headed kids coming to this event, and I hope that you will take a moment when you come to Cooptastic and sit down and listen to or enjoy listening to some of the questions in Avian Bowl. It's a fun competition where you have 10 questions in a round, and the teams vie for points. If they get a question right, they will have plus 5 points. If they get a question wrong, it's minus 5 points. So sometimes it's whoever got the least number of questions wrong that wins. Sometimes that's what you end up with in Avian Bowl. And of course, we will be having the world famous Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, at Cooptastic, broadcasting live for you all to enjoy, and he can share with you over the radio what is going on if you live so far away that you cannot join us. Of course, he will be definitely one of the highlights of our event. So
I'm blushing, as you can see on the camera.
And I know that Dragonfire just gave a shout out. I met her daughter Kate at the meeting in New Jersey. Delightful bunch. They're going to be coming. And several groups from New Jersey will be coming to see at least one full competition of Avian Bowl at the Mid-Atlantic Avian Bowl Challenge. Now, some of the topics that we're going to be covering, for those of you who are perhaps on the fence and you've noticed that I haven't put up the agenda yet, which should be up by the end of the week, some of the things that we are going to be covering are composting your own poultry litter, what to do or things to consider when designing your own coop and getting started with your flock. We're also going to have Mr. Phil Clower come down from Penn State University to talk to you about how to grade and size your eggs. He's an excellent speaker. We're going to have Biosecurity 101, Incubation and Brooding 101, Nutrition 101, Cleaning and Disinfection 101. So it's really for beginners, but if you've been doing this a while, you will definitely pick up one or two new tricks to put in your pocket and take home.
You forgot the class that I was going to be teaching, which is just about sold out, and that's how to pick up chicks.
Definitely. We're actually going to have a demonstration where one of my coworkers, Mr. Michael Wozokowski, will build for you at the event a hoop house, something that you can use out on pasture that doesn't have a floor. He's been designing and working on hoop houses that aren't going to break your back when you go to carry in, you know, heavy feeders or waters full of feed or water. So he'll be actually building that there during one of his talks, and you can participate in that. We're going to have a how to process your chickens at home, and for those of you who have forgotten how, we're actually going to review how to part out a broiler carcass because we know how much cheaper those are at the grocery store. I taught one of my coworkers. I went into her class once, and she has a basic beginning cooking and nutrition class, and her students were just amazed at how much you could get for, like, two people out of one carcass, how many meals you could get. And I was like, well, you guys got to remember, you know, each part of the carcass is in half. That's like one person each. You've got a wing, you've got a breast, you've got a thigh, drumstick, and you can use the rest for stock. And they were just so surprised. So don't forget, if you've forgotten how, don't forget how to part out a broiler carcass so that you can stretch your food dollar. For those of you out there who hear me talk time and again about 4-H and FFA, and you've got maybe some little ones, or you're interested in these organizations, how to become a leader, or you've got kids who might want to become involved. We've got a speaker coming from Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, Dr. Greg Martin, and he's going to talk a little bit about 4-H and FFA poultry and what's out there for you, leaders and members, how to get involved, how to get started, and what sort of things, competition-wise and activity-wise, that you can do to enrich your lives. I have a coworker down in Georgetown, Delaware, who is going to speak to you all about pieces of equipment that you may not necessarily associate with small flocks. He's going to be talking about pieces of equipment that you see in big broiler houses and how to scale that down, make your lives a little easier. It's small-scale poultry equipment. And then one of the other topics is how to can poultry meat and how to pickle eggs so that you can, maybe if you're going to raise broilers this summer and you really want that meat to stretch into the winter, he's going to teach you how to go through that process. Also, we're going to talk about a hobby versus a business. What are the real costs of eggs? So if you really want to think about, well, gee, I love my chickens. I love what I'm doing. People always want to buy from me because I've got the freshest eggs around. what does it take to switch this up into a business? What are the things I need to think about? So as you can see, Andy and Pat, the topics that we cover at Cooptastic is definitely going to take you far beyond your backyard flock. It's meant to take you into the community, maybe turn you into a business owner if that's where you're thinking about going. So, yes, it's meant for small flock owners, backyard poultry owners, and those who are into urban poultry, but maybe you're thinking, in 10 or 20 years, I'd like to make a step beyond that. And this is the preparatory information for you to start making good decisions down those paths. Are you excited? I am.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, one of the things you'd asked me to talk about today, switching gears, is incubation and brooding.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing is, I just sent this talk off to a coworker because she wanted the same information. So this file never closed from the time I came into my office this morning until now. All right, so, excuse me, sorry, I'm getting over a cold. So one of the things that people always ask me is whether or not you should let your chickens sit on the eggs or put them in an incubator. It depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to perhaps save electricity and let things go very naturally on your farm, you can let mother hen sit on a clutch of eggs, and she will sit on them for the requisite 21 days until everyone hatches. Everyone who is going to hatch will hatch. And what a lot of people ask me is, how do I know if she's gone broody? Well, hens tend to develop a brood patch on their breast. What they'll do is they'll drop feathers on their breast, and their skin will get very thick and hot because that's where they put the eggs in contact with their body. Feathers are good insulators, and that's great in the winter, but it's not great if you're trying to get the heat of your body in contact with the eggs that you're incubating. So they will drop those feathers. Also, a hen's behavior is going to change. She is going to want to do nothing but sit in the nest box. She'll stop laying eggs. And there are some breeds out there that are very good at doing this task for you, particularly Cochins and Silkies. Some of the drawbacks are that some of these birds are so broody that they will forego eating and drinking. And that really doesn't work for the chicken because they need food and water. So what you have to do is, if you're noticing that they're getting too thin, too fast, you'll have to force them off the nest to eat and drink. And this is a task in and of itself. So it's not a pleasant process if you have a bird that's overly broody. Might be an instance where having a backup incubator is a good idea so that you can finish incubating and you get her off the nest so she can get back to normal body weight and get her healthy again. So for those of you who are looking at getting an incubator, either for a classroom or maybe you're starting your own flock, you want to hatch out some eggs, you're starting your show flock, and you want to put together some breeding pairs or breeding trios, buying an incubator that's the right size for you is important. One of the things that you're going to think about is, how many eggs do I need to accommodate? How many breeding pens will I have, and how long am I going to do this? You will have to buy, usually people will have to buy a very beginning incubator, which is one of those styrofoam incubators. They're good for the beginning, but if you're going to continue for more than, say, 2 or 3 years with this, you need to start saving up for a bigger incubator, one with more solid sides, because the styrofoam tends to break down eventually, and it gets harder and harder to clean. So you might need to size up to something like, say, a GQF incubator, and or maybe an incubator that you find in a hatchery catalog. So, chickens incubate for 21 days, but here's a question for your listeners out there. See if who's been paying attention. How many weeks does it take to incubate duck eggs, usually?
Duck eggs. I'm going to guess 28.
Very good.
Really?
Very good. 4 weeks. You got it. So a lot of people, they're not quite sure how to fit ducks in with chickens. You just set them a week earlier than you would your chicken eggs, and then they'll hatch out on the same day. It's very, very easy. When you start to get into some of the other species, the times vary much, much more greatly. When you start dealing with geese or game birds, the number of days for incubation can vary a little bit. Automatic turners. They are a lifesaver. You don't have to get them, but you're pretty much going to want to after your first year. An automatic turner is probably another $30, $40, or $50 investment, depending on the size incubator that you're getting or the brand. You can buy incubators that have them already built in, or you can get them without and buy them later. I just say go for it. Every 4 hours, or some people say 4 hours, 6 hours, turning those eggs can be a pain.
Let me tell you what's even more of a pain. When the first year we did this in Jen's classroom, we did not have a turner. And so on Friday, I would show up at her classroom. I would open the incubator. I'd put the eggs in an egg carton. I would close the egg carton. I would put it back in the incubator, shut the incubator, put it in the back of the car, drive home, plug in the incubator, take the eggs out of the carton, put them on the ground, and then so we could turn them all weekend. Now, this last time that we did incubation in her school, we were fortunate enough to have three. All three were GQF. We had two wonderful Genesis incubators and one that was probably older than dirt, but it was still working just fine. So we had all three three out of the six kindergarten classrooms incubating. We had two with the everything, turners and everything. Then we had that same one that we started with years ago, and she didn't even turn them over the weekend. She just, you know, let it run. And she ended up having a pretty good hatch, even though she didn't turn it from probably when school got out Friday till school convened on Monday. And so it was, she still had a pretty good percentage of a hatch, even compared to the other ones. But, yeah, ever since that first year, we've tried to have a turner.
Yeah. It makes such a difference because you can actually really kind of set it and forget it, except for putting water in every day. And, of course, on day 18, that's the day you need to take the turner out because the chicks will start to hatch in a few days and the eggs can lay on their sides. But day 1 through day 18, you can have a turner in there, making your life so much easier. And then let the eggs sit on their sides from day 18 through 21 when they should hatch. Just so you know, mother hen turns the eggs about 5 times an hour. 5 times an hour. Not
really?
Bad. Not bad. So, having a turner is important, and consider it on your wish list of things to get in the future. Now, there's a couple different incubator styles you can get. There's still air incubators and forced draft incubators. Still air incubators have a heating element but no fan. So that means the air at the bottom of the incubator is colder than the air at the top because heat rises, cold descends. Those incubators without a fan, the still air incubators, often don't come with a turner either. So in those incubators, you should keep the temperature at 100.5 because the air is stratified from top to bottom. For those of you who can get a forced draft or incubator with a fan, often, but not always, those incubators come with an automatic turner. And therefore, the temperature can be 1 degree lower at 99.5, which is the perfect temperature for incubating eggs. We've got it down to half a degree. And water is very important in your incubator. You should always keep moist sponges at the bottom or fill the water tray, depending on the design of incubator you choose to purchase or get or borrow, maybe even. You should always keep water in there so that the humidity, the relative humidity, stays high enough for the chicks. It cannot be bone dry in there or they won't do as well. Now, mom's body, when she's sitting on the eggs, will have, you know, moisture associated with just her body heat. And so that's why we figured out moisture is important. All right. When you put eggs in the incubator, you need to count about 7 to 10 days later and come back and candle those eggs. Candling the eggs means that you're going to hold a strong light up, usually to the large end of the egg. And if the chick is developing and the egg is not a dud, then you'll start to see a network of blood vessels that extend around the inside of the egg. What's happening is the embryo, as it's growing, reaches out to the sides of the egg from inside the shell and lines the inside of the egg with a network of blood vessels. The shell is not completely solid. It's got pores in it. So it has gas exchange through the pores of the shell, and the blood vessels deliver deoxygenated blood to the shell surface, and fresh air is passed through the shell pores to the blood vessels. And that oxygenated blood is then delivered to the chick. Excuse me. And that's what you're seeing when you candle the eggs, is that blood vessel network. Sometimes, if you wait until about 10 days, you can actually see the embryo in there, and oftentimes they'll move very quickly away from the light because their eyes are so big at that point, the light is very bright, and they go, oh, what's that? And they start to move away, so that the chick can move inside the shell.
As a former paramedic, I can testify that you should run away from the light.
Very good. Excellent advice. So, what do you do if you have an egg that's a dud, Andy?
You got to throw it out, or it's going to stink to high heaven when it busts in the incubator.
Exactly. It will smell like rotten eggs, because it is. If you're not sure, say you're incubating eggs that have a very dark shell, candle the eggs 7 days, 10 days, and then again at maybe 13 days, and you'll get used to seeing the blood vessel network, and I would definitely practice on lighter shelled eggs to make sure that you know what the blood vessel network looks like. It can be difficult with, like, say, green shelled eggs from the Americana or dark shelled eggs from, say, Copper Moran, Wellsummers, or Barn Velders. Okay, day 18, what's happening? The chick breaks into the air cell at the large end of the egg. That's the internal pip. And then on day 21, it breaks through the shell. And it begins breathing when it does the internal pip. So sometimes on day 19 or 20, if you're very careful, you put the egg to your ear, you can hear the chick tapping on the shell or even chirping a little bit. And they do talk to each other to help speed up the slow guys and coordinate their hatch. So on day 21, the chicks will be breaking through the shell and starting the hatching process, which can take quite some time. You don't usually get speed demons, but sometimes they can get the job done in about 4 hours, but 12 hours is more like it. Okay, brooding your chicks. They've hatched. You've let them sit in the incubator for 24 hours so that they dry. It's time to move them to your brooder. A brooder is something that you should set up ahead of time. A day or two before the chicks arrive, you put together whatever your brooding container is or your brooding room, wherever it is, You want to have fresh bedding down. You want fresh feed starter for chicks, of course. And you want to have a water that's fairly shallow. You don't want the chicks to fall into your water and drown. So you want to start with something that's fairly shallow. And if you've only got something that's pretty deep, put some marbles in there. And that'll prevent them from flipping over and perhaps drowning inside there.
So that's what happened to my marbles. I lost them a few years ago and and wanted to know
check
where they
were. Check your brooder. Okay, they're going to need heat. You're providing the safety, just like mom. You're providing the food. They just need heat. And you just want to get a brooder lamp. You can hang it or somehow attach it safely so that it hangs 18 inches above the surface of the bedding. You also need a thermometer in there. Your thermometer should be at the height of the chicks. So as your chicks grow, you need to raise up the thermometer so you'll have an idea of what the temperature is in there. And spring is coming, so most of your Walmarts or your Lowe's of the world are starting to get thermometers at a very affordable price. You can just go get one and hang it from the side of your brooder box. Your temperature in the brooder needs to start at 95 degrees during week one. So sticking your hand down in there isn't going to tell you as much as having a thermometer in there at the height of the chick to tell you, yep, I'm good, or no, I need to switch out this bulb and put in a higher wattage bulb because I'm not getting the temperature I need. You want a room with no draft, a room that doesn't get damp if a storm should blow through. So maybe a spare bedroom, a sunroom, or perhaps you have some quiet little area out in the barn where you can brood your chicks. But definitely have the thermometer in there. And what you want to do is drop the temperature of your brooder 5 degrees every week. So week one, you're at 95 degrees. Week two, you're at 90 degrees. Week three, you're at 85 degrees. So on and so forth until you reach about 70 degrees. Or if you're going to have like a cold snap, keep your chicks in the brooder until the temperature outside is, or the weather outside is giving you the all clear sign, and your chicks need to be fully feathered as well before you stick them outside into the elements. Your chicks will definitely grow in size, so you may have to switch brooders after a while. I always recommend that you have the heat lamp set up and pre-warmed. All the surfaces are heated up before you switch your chicks over into a new brooder, one that gives them more space. And every day you kind of want to spot clean your brooder. Doesn't hurt to pick up any litter that perhaps water was spilled on, or maybe they all seem to congregate under the light and that's where most of the manure is. You can just pull that out. But every week you'll need to do a really good clean out, especially if you're making way for a new batch of chicks and the batch of chicks that you currently have is going out into the barn. You definitely need to do a thorough clean out. Soap and water, remove the bedding, clean the feeder, clean the water, and put in, after you scrub down the brooder box, put down fresh bedding, fresh feed, and fresh water. It doesn't take much. It just takes a little bit of time. And if you're really getting into this, eventually you may want to just set up a brooder guard out in the barn where you brood the chicks from the time that they're little all the way up until they're fully grown, and you can place them wherever it is you want your chickens to grow up, maybe out on pasture or in your big coop or whatever you have available to you. Well, Whisper, did I miss any questions in the chat room that perhaps I should address in the meantime?
Let's address this one. I think it comes to us from Kara, and we might need some more information from her, and there's a little bit of delay, so we'll yap while we get the answer. She said that she's got some, I believe she said some silky eggs that she has in her incubator. She's just testing to see if they may be fertile or not once she can candle them. But I don't have the information, for example, how old her roosters are, how old her hens are, to know whether we can help her decide if those eggs may be fertile, how long how long she's seen the rooster, if she's seen the rooster mount the hens. So maybe we can get her to, in the chat room while we're yapping here, to tell us how old the hens are, how old the rooster is, how old the cock is, and then if she's seen them actually, if she's seen the rooster actually mount the hens, and that if we have a little bit more information, we might be able to share. My understanding is after the deed is done, up to, 10, 12, 14 days, those eggs coming out are fertile.
Yeah. On average.
On average.
Not everybody, not everybody's average.
You're right. Some of us are a little below average.
Now, if you're trying to breed birds that have really fluffy feathers around the vents, like, say, silkies or even cochins, sometimes you have to trim back those feathers in order to get better fertility because as try as they might, the roosters just may not be making contact with the hen, and therefore, of course, your fertility is really low.
Like on cochins
trim
and
away
silkies.
Some feathers.
Right, cochins and silkies. You may have to do, folks, a little henscaping. A little henscaping.
Perfect.
What's so funny,
Pat? Is that true for the rooster? Well, that's great. Is that true for the rooster, too?
No,
should you give him a rooster
can be.
Quaff?
It can
that would be.
Be,
yes, a little bit of manscaping if you need to do that.
That's
but,
it. A little cockscaping. Yeah.
Henscaping, ain't it? Okay, let's see. They have been mating.
I've got a question.
Okay, Kara says they have been mating and laying since November. So I would. Let's see. How old are they? They hatched May 21st of last year. So they're, 10 months old now?
Just looking at an egg from the outside isn't going to tell you if it's fertile on the inside. You do have to incubate it for about a week before. And you really do need a minimum of a week before you really start to see that blood vessel network going around the inside of the eggshell.
Yeah, and don't crack it open to check it either.
No.
It does not work.
No, it doesn't.
Totally. Professor, I've got a question. When the hen loses her feathers, that brood patch, do they just drop out? Or I was under the impression that she actually plucked them out.
Ducks are really well known for plucking them out, especially like, say, eider ducks with that eider down. Oh. They line their nests. Some birds do pluck. But most gallinaceous birds, they'll drop.
Uh-huh.
And I get a lot of phone calls in the spring. What's wrong with my chicken? I don't understand.
Right.
She's not looking well. She's got this bare spot. It's normal. She's gone broody.
Yeah.
You can take advantage of the situation, or you can, break her of it if your goal is eggs and not chicks. Of course, if you don't have a rooster, well, you're not gonna get anything out of those incubated eggs.
Except rotten eggs.
Yeah, except for rotten eggs. One last thing before trivia time. I will recommend that if you are hatching your eggs, you definitely need to consider Merrick's disease. Merrick's disease is a ubiquitous virus that can affect chickens. A lot of people call it range paralysis, and we're actually going to have a very good speaker at Cooptastic talking about poultry diseases and how to vaccinate. And First State Veterinary Supply will also be at Cooptastic, and I am very much hoping he'll bring plenty of vaccines. So you can pick up those things there in person. So Merrick's disease. What you do is you vaccinate the chicks on day one, and it's just a little shot underneath the skin at the back of their neck. You don't need to use a big old needle for it either. You just use one of those little tiny quarter-inch needles like people use for diabetes, tuberculin syringe. And you just get the little 25-gauge quarter-inch needles. It's a little 1cc syringe. They're about 35 cents each. And you can get a vial of Merrick's disease vaccine. They're about $19 a vial. And each time you have a hatch go off, you just keep the vaccine on hand and give everyone a shot. That way you can protect your birds against Merrick's disease, especially if you've had a problem with Merrick's in the past. Then you know that the virus is on your farm. And incoming chicks, if you should order it, I always recommend getting the chicks vaccinated for Merrick's disease, since it is such a big problem and people want to have a successful set of birds raised up on their farms. So if there's other vaccinations that you're curious about, you can come to Cooptastic and ask your questions, or you can ask your local veterinarian or your state veterinarian, depending on where you live, or perhaps even your cooperative extension poultry vet, and you can ask what sorts of vaccinations are appropriate for your area or region. And they'll also tell you how frequently you will need to vaccinate your chicks, because they do get a couple of boosters before their annual vaccination. But for Merrick's, the only day they need it is day one, because every day thereafter, their bodies are just that much more unreceptive to the vaccine. Pretty special virus.
Cool.
And I think, Whisperer, you might need to take a commercial break while I think of a trivia question. How's that sound?
Yes, that sounds great. We'll take a commercial break. When we come back, it's time for trivia. Thursday's trivia is brought to you by Critter-Cages.com. That's Critter-Cages.com.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Actually, many products at critter-cages.com are made by
Ware Manufacturing. Has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, hens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
All righty, it's time for Chicken Trivia, brought to you by Critter-Cages.com. Today's winner is going to win a very nice brooder lamp with a dimmer switch and a 100-watt heat lamp bulb. So that is today's winner, and we're going to take caller number 11. Caller number 11, if you know the answer to the following question, let me give you the number, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. And caller number 11, and I believe Dr. McRae has our question of the day.
Oh, I'm saying it. Oh, okay. I wasn't ready for that. Sorry.
Sorry, that's okay.
What was my question again?
Welcome to my world.
Here we go. All right. What do you call an unsweetened, open-faced pie served hot or cold as an entree, appetizer, or snack? Let me read it one more time.
Okay.
What do you call an unsweetened, open-faced pie served hot or cold as an entree, appetizer, or snack? Of course, where do you think I get these questions?
Eggcyclopedia, maybe, or the...
Exactly. So, what do you listeners think? Any guesses out there? Let's see if anybody's typed... Oh, let's see.
It's not
somebody
me.
Somebody needs to call in.
Yep, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237, and you're going to win an awesome a brooder lamp, a real nice brooder lamp with a dimmer switch and a 100-watt bulb. We said caller number 11, the switchboard is starting to light up like a Christmas tree.
And can I answer one of the questions that popped up in your chat room as you...
Absolutely, very quickly.
Vaccinations for bantams, it says it on the bottles, and you can also get advice from... the chicken doctor, but all chickens can be vaccinated. Bantams are not. It's still a chicken, and that means the virus doesn't care. It's still a chicken. So testing and vaccinating are two different things. If you want a show, you can have your birds tested to make sure they aren't carrying any sort of diseases that are detrimental to other chickens. That's different from vaccinating your birds.
All righty.
But go ahead.
Time to go to the switchboard. We have caller 11 on the line, calling in from area code 423. Area code 423, if you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Charles from Rogersville, Tennessee.
Hey, Charles. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for listening. And if you'll repeat the question very quickly, Bridget, and we'll see. We'll get an answer.
Oops. hold on. Scrolling down. Okay. What do you call an unsweetened, open-faced pie served hot or cold as an entree, appetizer, or snack?
How about a quiche?
Very good.
All right. Very cool. Absolutely. Hey, we got less than 90 seconds left, so very quickly, if you'll send me email, because I got to get you this awesome prize, email me your shipping address, your name, and a phone number for critter-cages.com to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer at chickenwhisperer.net. Charles from Tennessee, if you'll email me that information, we'll get that to you out as fast as we can. Dr. McRae, thank you very, very much for coming on today. As always, I'm sure all of our listeners filled up notebook after notebook of all of that great information. I'm literally looking forward to meeting you up at Coop-tastic coming up. And about 45 seconds left. Pat, take it away.
Okay, well, great. Yeah, I certainly learned a lot today. And, of course, Andy Schneider, thanks to you for bringing us all together. We wouldn't have our little flocks and our little clucking conversations if it weren't for you, so thank you so much. Appreciation to our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking along every day. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and the video services. Blessings to all. We love you all so much, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody. Ha 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 ha